Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
And under authority, with soldiers under me, I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was astonished and said to those following him, I tell you the truth, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. Must have taken quite something to astonish Jesus. He was always astonishing others by the things that he did. And now he himself is astonished, not by the faith of one of his disciples or even of a Jew, but of a Gentile centurion, a Roman centurion. He's astonished. Now, the kingdom principle that we are considering this week, the theme for this week, is the principle of authority. And you students have got your forum project on authority this week. And you will have gathered from what Pastor Jonathan was sharing with you yesterday morning that our exercise of authority is dependent upon our submission to authority. And this is what astonishes Jesus, that this Roman centurion understood why Jesus had such authority. Now, everybody else recognized that he had authority. The crowd said, what is this, a new teaching and with authority? Even those that opposed him recognized he had authority and challenged him, who gave you this authority? But only this Roman centurion understood why he had such authority, that he must be submitted, in his humanity, of course, but he must be submitted to a higher authority. Only if he was submitted to the authority of God himself could he exercise such authority. Also, he understands that the way you exercise authority is to give commands. You notice that Jesus never asked people to do anything. He always commanded them because he is Lord. He is authority, if you like. That's what lordship means, the one who has the authority over all others. And what the scripture teaches us is that all authority is delegated. Even the civic authorities can only have authority because it is delegated to them by God so that there can be order in society. I'm not going to get into all of that this morning, but the scripture is clear about that. That those who rebel against authority rebel against God. And it's easy for Christians to recognize that Jesus is Lord, and therefore Jesus is the authority under which we live. It's not so easy for many to recognize that therefore they are to live under the delegated authority that God has placed in the leadership, in those that he has raised up to lead them, to disciple them, in the ways of the Lord. And there are many scriptures I could read out to you, a whole series of scriptures about how the Lord has put that authority within leadership for the good of all those who are under that leadership. But I'm not going to go to all those scriptures because you've got to find them for yourself this week as part of your forum project. I don't want to do the job for you this morning. Now, what is important, therefore, is that we see how this outworks in practice. If you just think of Kingdom Faith for a moment. Now, Pastor Clive is the senior pastor of Kingdom Faith. He is a senior pastor because I appointed him as a senior pastor. He wasn't elected, it wasn't a vote by the congregation or anything like that. I had the authority over Kingdom Faith because God used me to actually begin to found Kingdom Faith. So I, at some point, delegated that authority to Pastor Clive. So Pastor Clive has that authority, but only because it was given him. Now, you are always responsible for the exercise of authority to the one who gave it to you. So Pastor Clive is responsible to me for the way in which he exercises the authority that he has over Kingdom Faith. Technically speaking, or spiritually speaking, I could step in at any point if I thought that he was doing a bad job or was leading the people in the wrong way. I never have to do that, praise God. But you see, that is actually what authority is all about. So he is responsible to me for that. Now, Pastor Clive therefore appoints others in various positions of leadership. They have the authority to exercise whatever ministry that leadership position gives them because Pastor Clive gave them that authority. Now, at any moment, he could remove that authority because they are responsible to Pastor Clive for the way they exercise that authority. And if they, if you like, rebelled against his authority, he could take their authority away from them. And then they would be out of a job. The leadership, those in leadership positions, delegate authority over other people within the team and so on. You see how the authority passes down the chain, if you like. But when people are given authority, they are responsible to the one who gave it to them to in the exercising of that authority. Now, that is how structurally authority works within the body of Christ. And every one of us, therefore, needs to know those to whom we are responsible and those who are responsible to us because of the authority that is given us. Even some of you students, you see, the corridor monitors have authority. Those that are in the leading the kitchen teams have authority. It's not at the same level as the leadership of the whole ministry, but nevertheless you are given authority, and it's for those who they have authority over to recognize that authority, to honor that authority, and to make life easy for those who are exercising that authority. Because the scripture is very clear about that, and you can find the scriptures yourself for that, which shows you that you are expected by God to give those in authority over you an easy time. That God recognizes it is not always easy to exercise authority, but life is made easier when people respect that authority. It's made very, very difficult when people are rebelling against that authority. Okay, so that's how we see authority working now in within the body of Christ. And we just use this place as an example because this is relevant to where we're all at this time. Now, scripturally, God has given to every believer particular authority. Now, they exercise that authority within the body of Christ, within this structure of which they're a part. For example, and this is what we're going to concentrate on this morning, God has given us authority over all the power of the evil one. Jesus said to his disciples, I have given you authority to trample on demonic spirits and to overcome every power the enemy has. Nothing will be able to harm you as you exercise that authority. However, your real cause for joy is not that these spirits submit to your authority, but that your names are written in heaven, that you belong to God's kingdom. That is why you're given such authority. Now, what Jesus is saying is that everybody who belongs to the kingdom of God has certain authority by the very virtue of the fact that they're part of that kingdom. Now, remember, the kingdom is the rule and the reign of God. So, you see, what the Lord is teaching us is as you submit to the rule and reign of Jesus Christ over you, so his authority can work within you and give you authority over what God places under you. Not just people now, but we are talking about the spiritual authority he gives us to enable us to have victory over every adverse spirit, every demonic spirit, every work of the enemy. So, you know the scripture, resist the enemy and he will flee from you. Except that is not the whole scripture. Submit yourself to God. Submit yourself to the authority of the one who reigns over you because you belong to the kingdom. Then you can resist the devil and he will flee from you. But you see, the submission to the Lord is essential to your ability to exercise the authority. So many Christians try to exercise authority without submitting themselves to God. And it doesn't work to say, well, I once submitted myself to God. When you come against the enemy, you need to be in that place of submission to God, of submission to his authority. Now, of course, we're not submitted to his authority if we're living in disobedience, if we're living in some kind of rebellion against him, even though others may not be aware of that. There is the obedience of faith, there is the obedience of love. That obedience gives us confidence, but it also, that obedience gives us the authority or the ability to exercise the authority that God has given us over all the powers of the enemy. So it's one thing to have the authority, it's another thing to exercise that authority. Now, of course, when God gives us something, he doesn't give it to us to waste. He expects us to use that authority. And the sad thing is there are so many Christians who have been given this authority by God. They may not realize it, they may be ignorant of that fact, but they certainly do not exercise it. If they exercise that authority, then the enemy would not be able to have the entrance into their lives that he does have. And we'll come to all of that later on and see how we are to resist the enemy in all his attempts to undermine our faith and undermine our witness as those who belong to the kingdom. So we're going to have a lot of victory this morning. Now, if we have this authority then, we are to exercise that authority, but we can only exercise that authority as we continue to live under the authority of Jesus Christ, that he is our Lord, not only in name, but in reality. We're living under his lordship. We're seeking to honor, to glorify, to praise, and to please him. So that makes us, well, very, very powerful people. But you see, Jesus said, don't rejoice that the demons submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. In other words, you see, you only have this authority because you are part of the kingdom, because you are part of the rule and the reign of God. Now, remember what Jesus said to the disciples. That rule and reign, you can't say is a place over here or over there. That rule or reign is within you. So God is expecting that rule and reign to be exercised within you. Now, of course, there are various ways in which this authority can be exercised. One, of course, is in prayer. When Jesus says, speak to the mountains and command them to move, what is he saying? He's saying, exercise authority over the mountains. Exercise authority over the problems that arise in your life. Exercise authority over the obstacles that need to be removed out of your experience. That you have the authority to do that. So Jesus doesn't say pray about the obstacles, pray about the problems, or talk about them, or have ministry for them. He says speak to them and command them to be moved because you are people of authority. And people only want counsel and prayer and all the rest when they have problems simply because they're not exercising the authority that God has given them. Now, the other thing about the exercise of authority that Jesus, you see, was astonished about in this Roman centurion is, as a soldier, he knew that when he issued a command, he expected to be obeyed. In the Roman army, if you disobeyed an order, you would be reduced to the ranks or even executed just for disobedience. It was quite a harsh regime. But it was a very harsh regime. But you see, we may want to shoot some people at dawn, but we're not allowed to do that. So we have to encourage people to exercise the authority in such that God has given them in such a way that they expect to be believed. So Jesus says, when you speak to the mountain, believe in your heart. In other words, expect that mountain to be moved. Believe that mountain has to be moved because you have exercised what? Your authority? No, because you don't have any authority. You only have delegated authority. And delegated authority means the Lord's authority in you. So when you exercise that authority, you're doing it in his name, on his behalf. So you exercise authority in the name of Jesus. And that name is higher than any name. It's higher than any mountain. Doesn't matter how high the mountain is, the name of Jesus is even higher. So that name is greater and more powerful, has more authority than any obstacle that could arise in our lives. So God expects us to be exercising that authority when we pray. No use, you know, saying, well, I'm going to pray and fast about this problem if you're not actually exercising authority over it. Because fasting won't move it if God says, speak to it. Are you there? Okay, I'm not demeaning the value of fasting. It has value in all kinds of ways, but that's not our subject this morning. So we have authority to forgive sins. Whosoever sins you forgive, they are forgiven. Whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. So that is, again, an authority that is given to every believer. They can do that. But of course, it's especially relevant for those in authority so that they can give assurance of forgiveness to people who are under their care and responsibility. We have the authority to heal the sick. We have the authority to raise the dead. We have the authority to put into action anything that God commands us to do. But you see, what you have to understand is that when God issues a command, tells us to do something, he has already given us the authority and therefore the power to be able to do it. That as we submit to what he's telling us to do, so we are empowered to do it. And there is a real connection between the exercise of authority and the release of God's power. And so often, you know, people want to concentrate on the power without understanding that that is the outworking of the authority of God in their lives. So people want power, and actually they want authority, but they don't always appreciate that therefore if they are to exercise and to pray with authority in the way that God intends, they need to be submitted to his authority. And that means you're submitted to his authority directly to do the things he gives you to do directly, but it also means that you are submitted to the authority in the context in which he places you within the body of Christ. So you see, the one who says, well, I'm submitted to God, but I don't want to submit to the people in leadership over me, are actually in rebellion. They might not realize it, but they're in rebellion against God, and they're not submitted to God at all, because they're not submitted to those that he has delegated to have responsibility over them. So you can't separate these two things and say, well, so long as I'm submitted to God, that's all that matters. I don't have to be submitted to man. Because God has placed his authority in those that he has raised up in leadership. And when people have those rebellious kind of attitudes, they never stop to think that if God had wanted them to be in leadership, God could, in his predestined purposes, place them in authority rather than in those that they're criticizing, judging, resisting, and rebelling against. Hello? Right, so rebellion is never a good idea, is it? We saw that earlier in the term and what God thinks of rebellion, the ground opening up and swallowing up people and fire coming down from heaven and consuming them. That's what God thinks about rebellion. Praise God, in the New Testament, those things don't happen, but he still has the same attitude about rebellion. It's just that the blood and the mercy of God saves us from the judgment that we deserve when we do have rebellious attitudes. But of course, students at Ruffey never have rebellious attitudes. They're always perfectly submitted to God and to those in leadership over them. They never give people a hard time. They never go against the rules of the house. They are always absolutely subservient and submissive in every way that is necessary because they are such a holy people. You see that I am a man of faith. I speak into being what I see not. Okay, so this is an absolutely crucial subject if we are to live in the victory that God intends us to live, because the scripture says that God always leads us in his triumphant procession in Christ Jesus. So his purpose is for us always to triumph. You know, when I began to preach all this kind of thing publicly in big public meetings, I got an awful lot of opposition. Because people said, you're being triumphalistic. And I said, you're too right I am, because why should I live in defeat just because you are? You see, the only people that don't like the idea of being triumphant are those that are living in defeat and think that it's spiritual to live in defeat. But my God has overcome, and Jesus has overcome in every way, so he wants me to live in his overcoming life and power. So I'm an overcomer, I'm not a defeated believer. Amen? And therefore, his will and purpose is for me to overcome in every situation that he places before me. When I was an Anglican pastor in Luton, where you know the revival took place, I was under the authority of the bishop. Now, it was important, therefore, that I acknowledged his authority. It was no use saying, well, we're in revival, the Spirit of God is moving, I can just do what I like. But the bishop was also, of course, under the Lord's authority, so I could trust the Lord to work through the bishop in whatever way was necessary, so that I could fulfill the purpose of God. And when he first visited the church and saw what was happening, he said to me at the end of the meeting, he said, Colin, I do not begin to understand what is happening here, but I can see that it's of God. Therefore, you have my authority to do whatever you believe God is telling you to do. I had his authority. Important, I had his authority. And he said, if you believe God is ever telling you to do something that I shouldn't hear about, then don't tell me. because he could see that what I was doing, or what God was doing amongst us, was going to bend, if not break, a lot of the Anglican rules. And we were breaking Anglican rules. We weren't breaking the Lord's rules, the word of the Lord, but we were going right against things that at that time were not permitted. We were right out on a limb, really pioneering all kinds of new things. But I had his authority. Now, when God was calling me out of that ministry and into the traveling ministry, of course, I had to go to the bishop and submit what it was that God was leading me to do. We actually had, I really can't speak about it, perhaps I shouldn't say anything about it, but I had a really moving time because it was at that time, I didn't know it, nobody knew it, except him. But we had a talk about God calling us into a ministry that we felt was totally beyond us. And both of us were almost in tears because I didn't know that he'd just been appointed the next Archbishop of Canterbury. And within a few weeks, he was going to be in that situation. And he felt, I mean, that's awesome responsibility. And he had actually met with the Lord through reading my first book. And that was, anyway, all by the way. But the point is, you see, I had to submit to him. I couldn't just up and away and choose to leave and just resign as the vicar of the parish. But what he did, and I didn't ask him, but what he did is he gave me a letter of commendation to anybody worldwide. So this was like having the authority of the top guy in the whole Anglican Church in the world, which gave credence and authority to my ministry. It was a wonderful letter. I've got it filed away somewhere. I haven't looked at it for years, but it's a wonderful letter that he wrote. I've never, ever had to use it, but it was important that it's there, that I had it, that it was in the file. Why? Because I then had his authority to go anywhere in the world and preach the gospel. It wasn't something that I was just choosing to do, even though I knew it was the call of God. Are you understanding the importance of this? You see, it's important, yes, you get your authority from the call of God, but you also have to be sure that you're in the right place of submission at the horizontal level as well as at the vertical level. And that was very important because, I mean, it was the most unusual thing he did. He was giving me authority to really preach anywhere. I mean, normally that's not done in the Anglican Church. You have, you know, your parish and you have the authority to do that, or you might be over an area, but this was a most unusual thing that he was doing. But it fitted in with the purpose of God, you see, and God could use him to do that. It meant that I had access to thousands and thousands and thousands of church-going people, not only in the Anglican Church, because if you're recognized as an Anglican, you can minister in Catholics and Methodists and Baptists and all over the place. And so I saw thousands and thousands of people getting saved and healed and filled with the Spirit because I went out with the Lord's authority, but also the authority of the church, if you like. Very, very important. And I knew that I had to remain as a recognized Anglican priest for as long as God wanted that, for as long as it was going to be useful and powerful and effective for his purposes in my life. So never underestimate the power and the effectiveness of being in right submission to man as well as to God. You cannot separate the two. The two belong together. If you're not in right relationship with man, you're not in right relationship with God. It's as simple as that. So, I knew the call of God upon my life, Because even the first, from the first, when I was just a young child and was given my first Bible, the passage of Scripture, there were two passages of Scripture that God kept taking me back to. And the first was Isaiah 40, and I couldn't understand. I mean, as a 10, 11-year-old, I don't know how old I was, but I mean, at that age, I could not understand comfort. It was the old version in those days. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem. And tell her that her warfare is ended, that God has, and so on. What does it mean to comfort a people? Well, I learned later it means to strengthen them, not to say they're there, poor dear, God loves you, but to comfort them is to strengthen them. So he was calling me to strengthen his people. But part of the promises that go with that scripture is that God will raise up every valley and level every mountain. And of course, at first I didn't understand the significance of that. But then later I came to understand the valleys he raises up are the humble, and the mountains he pulls down are the proud. And he makes the way level for those that are going to walk in obedience to him. So it's very important, no matter, you see, what authority we have or what power is at our disposal, that we remain humble before God. Because then he can lift us up. He can use us in the ways that he desires. And to avoid the temptation ever to be proud or to think that what God does in our lives and what God can do through our lives is somehow the result of how godly and wonderful we are in our love and devotion to God. No, no, if we get spiritual pride, he will pull us down. He lifts up the humble and pulls down the proud. And of course, what is going to happen when Jesus comes again is every valley, every humble person will be lifted up, and every proud person will be pulled down at the time of judgment. So we remain humble before God, and the way that that humility is outworked is to be in submission to him and to those that he places over us with the authority that he's delegated to them. That if in my heart I am not submitted to man as well as to God, I am no longer in a place of humility before God. I have become proud and am resisting his purposes and his ways. So it's very important. That's why I'm taking you through these principles that I've had to see outwork in my life. Because we are dealing here with God, and he watches over his word to perform it. God will never act in any way that is inconsistent with his word. But everything will be the outworking of his word. Okay, now, all that is important for our ability to exercise authority. And we're going to go through a whole lot of things this morning which will clear up some stuff in our lives and really give us the ability to exercise that authority. But having the ability to exercise it is not the same as actually exercising it. So then we have to begin to take authority over the enemy. Now, one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is the discerning of spirit. Now, that does not mean that you simply are able to discern when someone is possessed by a demonic power and needs deliverance. What it means is that you are able to perceive and understand through the wisdom and inspiration of the Holy Spirit what kind of spirit is operating in your environment or even in your life at any particular time. What is coming against you? You see, what many Christians don't realize is that behind all opposition is a spiritual force that is opposing. So the opposition might come from a person or a group of people, but actually they're being motivated by a wrong spirit. So you don't take authority over the people, but you take authority over the wrong spirit that is actually motivating those people. It doesn't mean they're possessed by that spirit. They're simply being used by the enemy to oppose you in the work of the gospel. Behind all kinds of problems that arise in our lives, there are alien spirits. You have been seeing this term, the importance of the words you speak. Now, if the words you speak are not in line with the truth, then they must be in line with what opposes the truth. Behind that is the deceiver. Because, you know, he is the liar and the father of all lies. So if you're saying stuff that is in opposition to the truth, behind that is not just you, but behind that is the work of the enemy to try to encourage you to say that which opposes the truth, that which is deception, that which to God is a lie. It isn't that you are deliberately lying, it's just that some wrong spirit is getting into your thinking or into your emotions. Don't mean that that wrong spirit is living within you, but that wrong spirit is influencing you. And therefore, you have to recognize that and exercise that authority, submit yourself to God, to His Word, to His thinking, to the anointing of His Spirit, and resist whatever wrong spirits. All these wrong spirits are unclean spirits. Behind every temptation to impurity or lust or greed or jealousy are wrong spirits that are seeking to stir up those wrong reactions within you. It's not just that you have a problem. See, this is how the enemy works. He stirs up all these wrong things and then accuses you of being responsible. And in that sense, you are responsible because you've got to be responsible for what goes on in your mind. But you don't want that which is in opposition to the will of God. You don't want those wrong thoughts. You don't want those lusty thoughts, those grievous thoughts, those greedy thoughts, those jealous thoughts. You don't want them. Certainly when in the spirit you don't, your flesh might, but you're there to resist the flesh and to walk in the spirit. So you don't want that stuff. So you keep yourself submitted to God and you resist all those things. Get away from me. You do not have any part or place in my life. I am not coming under the influence of jealousy. I'm not coming under the influence of lust. I'm not coming under the influence of greed or any alien thing. I'm not coming under a spirit of judgment. I'm not coming under a spirit of criticism. Because you see, there are some very judgmental Christians and they think they're justified in the way in which they judge others and what's going on. They don't realize they're being motivated by an evil spirit of judgment. Something that is alien and opposed to the purposes of God. And that will persist until they recognize that, ask for God's forgiveness, then take authority over that spirit of judgment, so it no longer operates in their lives. What you have to understand is that if the Holy Spirit isn't motivating, that some other spirit is motivating. is influencing. And so we have to exercise this authority all the time. On a daily basis, you should be exercising your authority over the enemy on a daily basis. This is why God has given it. Authority over all the works of the enemy. Not just when you're in a real mess and you think, oh, this must be the enemy, I've got to rise up. Listen, don't get into a real mess. Exercise the authority over him before you get into a mess. Because, you know, you give the enemy an inch and he'll take a mile. The scripture says, give no opportunity to the devil. No opportunity. First opportunity, you recognize there's something here that is not of God. There's an attitude. My mind needs renewing. Yes, but you see, my mind is not going to be a football that God, that the devil is kicking around, putting into my mind whatever thoughts he wants me to have. No, the thoughts I want in my mind are the thoughts that come from the Holy Spirit. Purity, not impurity. Love, not the things that of judgment and criticism and condemnation. Thoughts of faith, not of unbelief and fear and doubt. So, you know, you have these things come against you. The doubt, well, you come against, I'm not giving way to any spirit of doubt or any unbelief, any spirit of unbelief. I refuse to. I'm a man of faith, and I just call upon the spirit of faith to operate in my life now. But you see, I'm calling upon the positive, and I'm resisting the negative. And you've got to do both. This is the authority God has given you, the authority over all the power of the evil one. You have the authority to trample on demons, to trample on them, not be afraid of them. You know, the devil tries to encourage people to think, you come against me and you see there'll be a backlash. Never! Nothing will harm me. You see, if you're sensible, every time you come against the enemy, you just say, thank you, Lord, I'm under the power and protection of your blood, and so are all those that I love and all those to whom I relate, that the enemy cannot come against any of them because I'm now going to get victory over the enemy. See, the power and the protection is in the blood. So praise God. We're not going to yield to spirits of temptation. We're not going to yield to spirits of deception. We're not going to yield to any spirit of rebellion. We're not going to allow any rebellious attitudes to come into our thinking. Watchman Nee tells of a very interesting experience he had as a young believer. His mother was a great believer. And of course, he was a Chinese Christian that was greatly used by God at a time when it was much persecution in China. As a young man, God spoke to him one day and told him to go and evangelize a series of islands, part of the Chinese nation. And so he went to his mother. I think he was in his sort of mid-20s, 25, 26 when this happened. So he went to his mother and he said, you know, the Lord has spoken to me and I'm to go and evangelize these islands. And his mother said to him, don't go. This is not the time for you to go. So being a man of the word, he knew that the word of God says, honor your father and your mother. So he didn't go. Now you see, a lot of Christians would say, well, wait a minute. God has told him to do something, and God has much more authority than his mother. Oh, no, no, no. His mother has God's delegated authority. He was still under the authority of his mother. About 2 or 3 years later, God spoke to him again and said, go to those mountains, or go to those islands to evangelize. So he went and said to his mother, the Lord has spoken to me again about going to these islands. And she said, yes, go. So he went. When he arrived in those islands, he found that the time when he had first been told to evangelize there were absolute civil disobedience, riots, all kinds of turmoil, and it would have been impossible for him to preach the gospel. When he went there the second time with the blessing of his mother, he just saw a wonderful move of God's Spirit and many, many people coming into the kingdom. Watchman Nee wrote what I think is the finest book on spiritual authority. Get hold of it and read it at some point. It's simply called Spiritual Authority. It is an amazing book. And there's been some good books in recent years, but I don't think any can actually match Watchman Nee's book on authority. But you see, that shows you how important it is to be submitted to the authority of God, of course, but to be submitted to the authority of God in the place where he's put you, submissive also to those with the authority over you. Now, in that situation, of course, his mother was a wonderful woman of the Spirit, more experienced in the things of the Spirit than Watchman Nee was. So he was under real spiritual authority, not just under his mother. But that spiritual authority was being exercised through his mother. Just as in the situation where you are here, spiritual authority is exercised through the leadership. You obey or recognize and honor that authority, and that gives you liberty then to do the will of God in a way that he will prosper you. People often, you see, come to me and submit, not just people in Kingdom Faith, but people from outside, even leaders from outside, and submit various things that God is saying to them. They want a kind of an apostolic overview of the thing. But it's really a submission. And you see, what God does is give you the witness as to whether something is right or whether it's not right. And one of the most difficult things about the will of God is getting the timing right. You see, you can hear, as Watchman Nee heard, you can hear what God is wanting you to do, but then you can go rushing into it in the wrong time. Because sometimes God tells us to do something, and he actually needs to prepare us to be able to do it. So that is one of the good checks that leadership can have. People can help us to see when it's right to put into practice something that God has said, and also they can often help us to see how to put it into practice, because of their greater experience and so on. So we've got to hold these two things together. How God leads us directly and personally, but how he always leads us within the context in which he's placed us. So, so important. You see, you wouldn't have somebody in a business going against what the manager or the director of the business says. Because he said, well, God told me to do something else. That would be a quick way to get fired. You couldn't have a soldier disobeying the command he was given, saying, well, I prayed about it and I didn't think that was the right thing to do. It wouldn't work in the school if a pupil said, well, I'm not going to obey the headmaster because I'm a Christian and I can hear for God from God for myself. And I don't believe that what the headmaster is telling me to do is what God wants me to do. You see, you have to exercise your discipleship, your witness, and your authority within the context in which God places you. It's never right for those under authority to rise up against the authority, even in the world. That's why the scripture says that we are to obey the civic authorities, because civic authorities are put in place so that there will be order in society. And as good Christians, we're good citizens, obeying those things. So, how are we going to put this word into operation? Are you all alive still? What God wants you to have is a good, humble, submitted heart. Amen? We could have had a better amen to that. We could have had everybody saying amen to that. Amen.
Amen.
Because the more humble the heart, the greater the authority. It sounds a paradox. Now, in the back of The Truth That Sets You Free, there are a number of ways, which we're going to go through now, of standing against the enemy. Now, in some ways, many of you will have done some of these things, but there's never any harm in declaring the victory that we have over Satan and all his works. And in the process, to be submitting ourselves afresh to God, to Jesus, as the truth, to his word, and to the spirit of truth, to be the inspiration and the one who will guide us into all his ways. And then we're going to conclude by coming against any spirit that is seeking to have influence. You know, often Christians pray about a situation over a period of time, and it seems that nothing really is changing to any great extent. And what they don't realize is that instead of praying about the situation, they need to pray against the powers of the enemy that either have caused the situation or are seeking to resist your prayer, resist your faith. And you see, if you don't exercise authority, they will continue to have influence until you do. Are you breathing? Okay, so let's all stand. I'm going to get you to repeat some declarations after me, so come into the middle because God is going to really meet with us this morning. Now, I'm going to ask you to repeat these things because, you see, and very, 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 very important for you to understand this. As a Christian, it is not somebody else's responsibility to resist the devil for you. You can do that with people that are not believers. You can take authority in the name of Jesus. But when it comes to believers, every believer is to submit himself or herself to God and resist the enemy. Somebody can agree with you as you do that, but they can't do it for you. They can do it with you, but not for you. So therefore, it's important for you to speak out and you to declare these things. But of course, it's important also that you are speaking from your heart and not just as a parrot, because somebody is leading a meeting and asking you to say these things. So we're going to come against the major ways in which the enemy seeks to influence even Christians. So the first thing that we're going to come against is deception. Because in the New Testament, the devil is the deceiver of the brethren, and you're one of the brethren. He doesn't need to deceive people that belong to the world. They're already deceived. But he does seek to deceive the brethren by drawing them away from the truth. So first of all, let's just focus on the Lord, praise Him. Thank Him that He is your Lord. That He is your authority. Praise Him that He exercises authority over your life for your good, because He exercises that authority in love. He always seeks your highest good. So just submit yourself afresh to His Lordship. The Holy Spirit enables you to say, Jesus Christ is Lord, meaning Jesus Christ is my Lord. Hallelujah. Thank Him that He is your King, that you belong to His kingdom. You're submitted to His rule and His reign. Praise God. I think you can be more thankful than that. Hallelujah. That you want Him to reign over you, you want Him to reign in you, you want Him to reign through you. Hallelujah. You want Him to exercise His authority over you. You want Him to exercise His authority in your life. You want Him to exercise His authority through you so that others can be blessed and benefit. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now the Word of God says that when we hear His word and don't put it into practice, we deceive ourselves. So we're going to renounce all self-deception. Now you've heard the word of God this morning, not just what I've said, but the scriptures I've quoted. So you will deceive yourself if you don't act upon these words. Amen. So let's make this declaration together. In the name of Jesus and by the power of His blood, I renounce all self-deception. I ask the Holy Spirit to convict me of sin, that I may not be blind to things in my life that oppose the truth. I choose to humble myself before God, that I will not have exalted ideas about myself. I submit my mind to be instructed by the Spirit of Truth. With my mouth, I intend to speak the truth and not speak negatively about myself or others. I intend to live the Word of God, not only hear it. Come on, let's say. Say these things with a bit more conviction. Not just repeat them, but really say them from the heart. Heavenly Father, I ask for the help of Your Holy Spirit to enable me to walk in the truth, not in self-deception. I believe Satan no longer has any foothold in my life and cannot accuse me for my past failures.
I am free, for Jesus has set me free. In the name of Jesus, and by the power of his blood, I renounce every way in which I have allowed the enemy to deceive me. I stand against any false ideas of God, of the Lord Jesus Christ, or of the Holy Spirit. I stand against any way in which I have been influenced by false prophecy or by allowing others to speak untrue or deceptive words into my life. I stand against the influence of all false teaching I have received. I forgive those who have taught me things opposed to the truth. I pray for them that their eyes and hearts may be open to the truth. I choose to submit myself afresh to the truth of God's word, to be led and guided by the Spirit of truth. In the name of Jesus, I take authority over every lying or deceiving spirit that has sought to have any influence on my life. I tell all such spirits that they have no hold whatsoever over me, or what I believe or think. I am free because Jesus Christ has set me free. To him belongs all the glory. In the name of Jesus and by the power of his blood, I renounce every counterfeit activity of the enemy, all influence there has been in my life through involvement with the occult, with false religions or cults. I renounce. Now, if you've been under any of those things, just name them quietly before the Lord right now. And I praise God that I am now free from the influence of all these activities. And I renounce all superstition. Heavenly Father, I thank you that your Holy Spirit of truth will keep me walking in the truth of your word. And I yield myself afresh to you, thanking you for your love and grace in bringing me out of darkness into your glorious light. Let's praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, now we come against all rebellion and pride. And if anybody stands here and says, I don't have any rebellion or pride, this is especially for you. In the name of Jesus and by the power of his blood, I renounce all rebellion and pride. And every way in which I have allowed the enemy to influence my life through rebellious and proud attitudes. I renounce all my independent and self-sufficient attitudes. Every way in which I have opposed the teaching of God's word and have failed to put my trust and confidence in him. I renounce the spirit of control. Every way in which I have allowed my life to be controlled or manipulated by others. And I stand against any such spirit of control being able to operate through my life to influence others. I forgive those leaders who have sought to control me. And I pray that they will become men of true spiritual authority. I renounce my aggressive, self-assertive pride. I renounce all self-centeredness. Every way in which I have tried to elicit sympathy and pity from others. I renounce all self-centeredness and rejoice that the old has gone and the new has come, that I have died and my life is now hidden with Christ in God. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you have forgiven me for every way in which I have spoken negatively of myself, denying my inheritance in Christ. Again, I submit myself to the truth that I may live in freedom from self and all the influence of the false accuser. I praise you that you will always lead me in triumph in Christ. Hallelujah. Right now, we have been given authority and spiritual weapons to pull down every stronghold and everything that sets itself up against the authority of Christ. So now we're going to pull down strongholds and break every curse that has ever been leveled against us. I said we're going to break every stronghold and every curse. In the name of Jesus, and through the victory of the cross, I stand against any habitual sin in my life and the bondage that has resulted from this. Heavenly Father, I repent of this sin. Now just name whatever sin that is, just quietly. I choose to turn away from it so that my life may no longer be under its influence and that I shall no longer grieve you in any way. Please forgive me for any way in which this sin has given the devil opportunity in my life. And for the ways in which my sins have influenced others negatively. I choose to submit my heart afresh to you, that you might work change in my life. Thank you, Father, that I am yoked together with Jesus. I want to be more like him. Change me into his likeness. From one degree of glory to another. In the name of Jesus, and by the power of his blood, I come against every enemy stronghold in my thinking. I have the mind of Christ and choose to submit my thinking to the truth of God's word. In particular, I come against the stronghold. Just name whatever stronghold you're coming against. Stronghold of wrong thinking. I now use the spiritual weapons that are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds and everything in my life which sets itself up against the knowledge of Christ. I believe those strongholds are now pulled down. I choose to submit my mind to the truth of God's word. I will not allow any fresh strongholds of unbelief or negativity to be established in my thinking. And I thank you for your grace and help. In the name of Jesus and by the power of his blood, I now exercise the authority given me by Jesus Christ, and I break the power of any and every curse that has ever been brought against me or any member of the family to which I belong. The power of that curse is now broken. And I and the members of my family are delivered completely from any influence this has had on our lives. I choose to bless all those who have sought to curse me. And I praise you, Heavenly Father, that I do not need to live in any fear of the devil or of future curse. You are my shield, and I praise you for the victory that you give me over every device of the evil one. Through Jesus Christ, my Lord. And I praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise your holy name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Now, is there something that's coming against you in some particular way now? Perhaps something you've been praying about, and you suddenly realize it's not just praying about the problem that I need to do, I need to come against whatever influence of the enemy that has created this problem. Maybe you need to come against the spirit of infirmity, some unclean spirit in some way. We've really dealt with most of that stuff and what we've already prayed. But whatever it is, just take authority yourself now. I'm not going to lead you in this. You take authority. In the name of Jesus and by the power of his blood, I come against this spirit now. Command this spirit to leave me, to have no further influence over my life. You are a defeated enemy. You are defeated by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. Hallelujah. And I praise my Lord Jesus Christ for the victory. The power and influence you've had in my life now ends. It's broken in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, praise him. Praise Jesus. Praise Jesus. Praise Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Pupara zadabaria leto bakalazato bakalazandama. Bazandaria leto bakalasitri sandama. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Pupara zadabaria leto bakalazandama. Now, thank the Lord for that gift of the discerning of spirits. And tell the Lord you want to see that gift being operated in your life, so that you always understand what is actually coming against you, what spirit is behind the opposition, the persecution, the oppression, or whatever it is, so that you come against the spirit. You take those spiritual weapons that are mighty to overcoming those spirits. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Oh, rasata pakarazan. Come on, let's really praise him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I thank you, my Lord. I thank you, my King. It's not noisy enough here. There should be great praise for God now. Papara Zarabari Aleto Bakala Sandama. O Papara Zarabari Aleto Bakala Sanda Balandama. O Papara Zarabari Aleto Bakala Zato Bakala Sidama. Pazarabari Aleto Bakala Sandari Aleto Bakala Sandama. Pazandari Aleto Bakala Zato Bakala Sidri Sandama. Papara Zarabari Aleto Bakala Zato Barieto Bakala Sandama. Papara Zarabari Aleto Bakala Zato Bakala Sidri Sandama. O papara zarabari aledo bakala zidaba. Hallelujah. 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 Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Amen. Now, just listen for a moment. I realized as we were going through those declarations that there was something I need to make clear to you, because we renounced all those that had exercised wrong kind of leadership through spirit of control. Now, it's very important for you to understand the difference between authority and control. Because when people do not want to submit to authority, they often charge the leadership with trying to control them. And they're actually covering up their own rebellion in doing that. So you need to understand the difference. A spirit of control is when leaders try to get people to do what they want. Authority is when leaders want you to do what God wants. That's the difference. So if the leadership is telling you what God wants, because it really is the Word of God and the Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth, then you do not accuse them of exercising a spirit of control, because what they're rightly doing is exercising the authority of God. But when, if you're ever under, I mean, I trust you won't get, put yourself under the leadership in a church where the leaders are trying to control the people to get them to do what they want, that is ungodly leadership. And we just renounce and have renounced every way in which we were ever influenced. But when leadership is speaking into your life to get you to do what God wants, never accuse them of control. That's not control. They are speaking in the name of the Lord with the authority of God for your good, to help you bring your life in line with God's word. Hallelujah. Is this a good day or is this a good day? Come on, let's praise the Lord before we finish. Praise you, Jesus. Bless you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Papara Sarabari Aleto Bakalazato Bakalazandama. Papara Sarabari Aleto Bakalazato Bakalazinama. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. It is for freedom Christ has set us free. Hallelujah. And just a few verses after that, Paul says, he has called us to be free, to live in that freedom that he has given us. Amen? That's what we're going to do, isn't it? Yes. We're free to praise the Lord. We're free to live for his glory. We're free to see the will of God outworked in our lives. Come on, let's have one last big shout of praise for God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. 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 Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. You will have a good day.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.